Continuing the story of Dante's Inferno, we reach Canto 8, Chapter 8 of 34, and things are getting steadily worse. And so I say, continuing, that long before we reached the bottom of that lofty tower, our eyes had travelled upwards to its summit, drawn by a pair of tiny flames set there, as now we saw, to signal to a third, so far away the eye could hardly grasp it. I turned towards the ocean of all wisdom. "What do you mean?" I said to him. "What answer does the father fire now give? Who makes these signs?" And he, "Across these waves of foaming mire, you may already glimpse what they've been waiting for, unless it still goes hidden by these marshy fumes." No bowstring ever shot through air an arrow rapider than now. At speed I saw come towards us there a mean little vessel. Within it, as pilot plying these waters, a single galley man who strained the oar, squealing, "You fiend, you've got it coming now." "Phylegias, Phylegias," my master said, "your screams and shouts have this time little point. We're yours, but only while we cross this marsh." Like someone hearing that a massive hoax had just, to his disgruntlement, been pulled on him, so Phylegias now stood in pent-up rage. My lord stepped down, and entering the boat, he made me in my turn embark behind. The hull seemed laden only when I did. At once my leader boarded, me as well, the ancient prow put out. It sawed the waves more deeply than it would with other crews. So rushing forwards on that lifeless slick, there jerked up, fronting me, one brimming slime who spoke, "So who, you come too soon, are you?" And my riposte, "I come, perhaps I'll not remain, but who might you be, brutishly befouled?" His answer was, "Just look at me, I'm one who weeps," and I to him, "Weep on in grief, may you remain, you spirit of damnation, I know who you are, filth as you may be." And then he stretched both hands towards our gunwales. My teacher, though alert, soon drove him back, saying, "Get down, be off with all that dog pack." And then he wringed both arms round my neck. He kissed my face, then said, "You wrathful soul, blessed the one that held you in her womb. That man alive flaunted his arrogance, and nothing good adorns his memory. So here his shadow is possessed with rage. How many in the world above pose there as kings, but here will lie like pigs in muck, leaving behind them horrible dispraise?" "Sir," I replied, "this I should really like, before we make our way towards this, beyond this lake, to see him dabbled in the minestrone." He gave me my answer. "Before that shore has come to view, you will surely have your fill, and rightly you rejoice in this desire." Then, moments on, I saw that sinner ripped to vicious tatters by that mud-caked lot. I praise God still, and still give thanks for that. "Get him," they howled. "Let's get him, Silver Phil, that crazy Florentine." He buckled, he balked, turning the Guelph-turned teeth upon himself. We left him there. Of him my story tells no more, and yet my ears were pierced with cries of pain, at which I barred my eyes intently forwards. I bared my eyes intently forwards. "Dear son," my teacher in his goodness said, "we now approach the city known as Dis, its teeming crowds and weighty citizens." "Already, sir," I said, "I clearly can make out the minarets beyond this moat, as bright and red it seems as if they sprang from fire." "Eternal fire," he answered me, "burning within projects, as you can see, these glowing profiles from the depths of hell." We now arrived within the deep dug ditch, the channel round that place, disconsolate, whose walls, it seemed to me, were formed of iron. Not without first encircling it about, we came to where the ferryman broke forth. "Out you all get," he yelled. "The entry's here." I saw there on that threshold, framed, more than 1,000 who had rained from heaven, spitting and wroth. "Who's that?" they hissed. "Who, yet undead, travels the kingdom of the truly dead?" He gave a sigh, my teacher, in all wisdom, saying he sought some secret word with them, at which they somewhat hid their fierce disdain. "You come but on your own," they said. "Let him so brazen entering our realm walk by. He may retrace his foolish path alone, or try it, if he can, while you'll stay here. You've been his escort through this dark terrain." Reader, imagine, I grew faint at heart to hear these cursed phrases ringing out. I truly thought I'd never make it back. "My guide, my dearest master, 7 times or more by now you've brought me safely through. You've drawn me from the face of towering doom. Do not, I beg you, leave me here undone. If we are now denied a clear way on, then let us quickly trace our footsteps back." My Lord had led me onwards to that place, and now he said, "Do not be terrified. No one can take from us our right to pass. Wait here a while. Refresh your weary soul. Take strength. Be comforted. Feed on good hope. I'll not desert you in this nether world." So off he went, and there abandoned me. My sweetest father, plunged in perhapses, I so remained, brain arguing yes and no. What he then said to them I could not tell. Yet hardly had he taken up his stand when all ran jostling to return inside. They barred the door, these enemies of ours, to meet his thrust. My Lord remained shut out with heavy tread. He now came back to me, eyes bent upon the ground, his forehead shaved, of all brave confidence sighing. He said, "Who dares deny me entrance to this house of grief?" To me he said, "You see, I'm angry now. Don't be dismayed. They'll fuss around in there. They'll seek to keep us out, but I'll win through. This insolence of theirs is nothing new. At some less secret gate they tried it once, and that still stands without its lock ajar. You've seen the door. Dead words scribed on its beam. And now already there descends the slope, passing these circles, and without a guide, someone through whom the city will lie open." End of Canto 8. As I said, things are getting steadily worse. Worse for Dante and Virgil, I mean.